Hi, Philip.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good today in this nice sunny weather.
Yeah.
The rains are over. Mm. It's beautiful.
That is true. What was going on here on Saturday?
Well, on Saturday we had a Christmas fair here, like we usually have every year, which is an event to bring Orvillians together with the youth of the villages around and all the different schools. It's an event for the children to have fun, and we build up games and have audience for the stage performances, things to entertain the people.
How many years that's going on already?
I wouldn't know exactly, but it has been a tradition for many years. Before, the Christmas fair used to be at the visitor center until it got out of hand over there because there were too many kids from Edian Chavadi and Kotakarai coming to make chaos out of the quickly put together activities that were set up there. And now it's been going on in the youth center since, I think, about 8 years. In between, there was one fair in Kalabumi. And last year, there was no Christmas fair here because of the cyclone. But otherwise, it's been constant since about 8 years, I think, 7, 8 years.
What were the activities we saw or it was possibility to do on Saturday?
So this Saturday, the fair which was organized was a last-minute fair. So the amount of activities and the way that they were planned was all last-minute. So we had what we didn't have since a few years, the newly invented flying fox out of the tree from out the gate. Then we had coconut shops, two of them, so there was competition on the market for the coconut consumers. We had the seesaw, the bongo spronger, and the wheel of fortune as games. Then we had the ripping 50s. So all these exotic names here refer to wild games which are invented with the ideas of the young people around here. And the bongo spronger and the wheel of fortune have become traditions already since many years.
What is bongo spronger?
The bongo spronger is a device that tests the strength of hard men. And the idea of the game is to hit with a big hammer onto a rubber pad and make a heavy metal piece fly as high as possible. And the higher you get it, the stronger you are, and you fall into different categories of strength, like wimp and not bad and super strong or Superman. And when you're very, very strong, then the piece of metal hits the top and an electric switch makes an electric bell ring throughout the whole fair. And everybody hears it and everybody sees the strong man in front of the bongo spronger.
That didn't happen.
No, this year either we had no very strong men around here or the electricity might have been switched off on the bongo spronger. I think it wasn't set up to full satisfaction and it was just like makeshift.
But there were also things to buy, to eat, to drink, to buy presents, right?
Yeah, there was a big buzz of activity. Those were just the games which were here offered to the kids, like to have fun and pass their time. But obviously they had fun bargaining and purchasing different things. So with the games they could win prizes and go to the prize stand and deal and wheel with the salesman about which prize they're going to get and which one they like more. There was a lot of food on sale, like momos and pancakes and tacos. And we had a cake competition in the evening. We had three bands which played to an excited crowd all evening. And we had a raffle stand. If I remember well myself, I didn't have so much time to exactly look into each activity because I was busy with setting up some and organizing things backstage and lights and so on, so I didn't have time to enjoy the full fair. It starts with a bank. A bank is part of it, I would say. So what we usually do on this fair is we print a currency, which is printed with a design of some young person in Orville who paints it, and we usually print t-shirts as well for this fair. No, I don't have a fair t-shirt on today, but many people in Orville have t-shirts from different fairs of different years, and there's always a design which is painted by some young person. And a similar or the same design goes on the currency. So this currency is for use on that day only in the fair. And what you can do with the currency is you can get your food, you can get the t-shirts, you can buy all the stuff, and you can participate in the games So usually you have a participation fee for the games, and if you do good or you win the game, you get either a prize or you get more money back, more of this currency. So you can gamble with the currency, you can make money on the fair and then use it to buy more food or more t-shirts or something like that. And since we're doing it for the kids of Oroville, and since the fair runs on donations given by the units of Oroville usually and some private people, we give to all the kids who are enrolled in Oroville schools, we give a certain amount of free currency. So they have a start off and they have an advantage over the tourists and the elderly. And with that amount of currency, they could, by playing enough games properly, they could make a lot of money and use it for the whole day. But since this was a last-minute fair now, we didn't have that time to develop a design for the t-shirts, and we also didn't have the time for the printing of the currency. So we used the currency of the fair from 2007, from which we had a lot of leftover notes. And there was a lot of stands also had the common cash account sheet system rolling, because it wasn't so sure until the last day whether we're going to have a bank or not.
But still, you said the last minute, so the idea was not really to have it today, this year.
The energy somehow wasn't there in the beginning. Normally it takes about 2 months of planning to make the fair. So about 2 months before, somebody has to jump in and say, okay, what are we going to do this year? What is our theme? Where is our design? Somebody has to start to get the things in for printing. And start to, often each year we have new games as well, new gadgets for the kids to have fun, so these have to be built and invented. We have to clean up the whole space, make it usable for 200-300 people during the day. This year it was also very small compared to most of the time. And yeah, so the energy wasn't there in the beginning. Nobody really had the motivation to stand behind it and say, okay, I want to do this, until 2 weeks before the day of the fair, when we had a small talk in the evening and decided we're going to do it. And that was after one Tamil Oravillian had been here during the day, and he asked if the fair was happening, when it was happening. And then when I told him that it's probably not happening, he was really sad, and he said, well, what should I do with my children then this year? They love it so much, and all. So that evening we sat together and we said, okay, let's do something. Obviously we don't have enough time to prepare a full fair, but we'll do an event. We'll do something, at least as much as we can do. And the turnout was that quite a few people really helped for full power 24 hours before the fair was happening. So a lot of things got put into place, and it was a big fun event.
So what is your feeling afterward? I mean, like, even if it wasn't so complete as you may be accustomed to, but still.
Yeah, the feeling was very good. That it was a great success, and there was a good energy between the people who were working for it, and we were all really satisfied with the amount of things we got done and the way it all fell into place in the end. I mean, normally the fair is anyway chaos, and normally there's many more people than this year, so it's more chaos. But even though the chaos, there's always a good feeling around. There's usually a good feeling, and there's seldom a little bit of stress, some fights or some duel over something or the other, which we had this year as well, some minor events, but they're not worth mentioning when you compare it to the large happiness and success that it brought. I think most people had a good time, and there were also a lot of Oravillians who were here and not that many guests. And I think people had a good time. The music came on a little bit late, close to the evening. But after that, the musicians really rocked the show. And I think in general, people were very satisfied. Our main cook, he was injured the night before. He cut his foot, so he couldn't really walk so well. And so many things were last minute. But that's why we also called the fair the last minute fair. Yeah. And that was our theme. But everything really happened in the last minute, and it did happen.
But it happened successfully, right?
Yeah, it was great.
You said the musicians. Who was amongst the musicians here?
So amongst the musicians, there was most of the band called Emergence. This year they were called Emergency because half of the band was missing, or a certain part. That is Krishna from Solitude and his gang of people, which I don't know their names. Then there was G Stefan and Joel and Anna and Tiago. I think they were all together in a band. And some other musicians, which I don't know their names. And finally, in the end, we had Laurent and a band called Zamzanga. Mm. Laurent and his musicians.
So it was from rock to reggae, or what?
It was difficult to classify music these days. There's so much music. Yeah, there was definitely a hint of reggae in most of the music, and a little bit of rock, groovy in Krishna's music, I would say, and then a bit more oriental, or what can one say, cultural music with Ana and Tiago, who are from Brazil, if I'm not wrong, and who make music with natural instruments and have a bit of a style of capoeira in their music, and just a cultural hint. They were also talking about their music when they were playing. Yeah, when the Zamzanga came on, there were a lot of people dancing under the tent, and Laurent is a really good singer. He entertains the crowd. And it was a nice atmosphere until they left at 10:30 or something. They started to pack up their equipment, and they had enough.
How many people are involved usually in an event like that?
As organizers, you mean, as people who participate?
Like organizing, it's one is organizing team, and the other is like if you count all together, like stores, and I mean, how many people work for the people who came here?
Wow, that might be around 30. Usually it's about 50, 60 people who are sitting behind stands, who are sitting behind games, who are doing shopping, who are organizing the rides and so on. This year I think we were about 30. And we were also understaffed because it takes some amount of convincing to motivate an Aurevillian, especially the younger ones, so that they do something for this day. And usually it's just something simple where we can say, come on Saturday and be in the kitchen for a few hours, or come on Saturday and be behind this game and this is how it works and please do it. And even that, it's hard to get an Aurevillian to do. So these 2 months of preparation before the fair usually include that, also going around to find the right people in Oroville, and preferably youngsters, to get involved here and to do something or to implement their own ideas.
Okay. As a born Orovillian, do you have any idea why it's like that?
I'm not a born Orovillian, but I am an Orovillian here since a while. I have an opinion about why it is like that, but I don't think it's the full truth. And it's a lot because I think for young people it's easy to live in Oroville. Many get accustomed to the Amma culture of only doing things they really like to do. Many are in a certain way spoiled to have an easy life and have the free choice. They're never forced to do anything. It's never about money and the strict, hard realities of the Western world, for example, but it's always about, do you want to do this or do you not? If you don't want to go to school, okay, you don't, unless you get a lot of pressure from your parents, maybe. But, you know, so we ask them here also, do you want to come and participate? And then usually the simplest answer for them is, well, no, I have other things to do. I have my daily schedule, my daily routine, and I'll stick to that. I don't want to do anything extra. Or, and some people do have those ideas and they say, yes, we want to do this. Mm. Or some people just say, yeah, I want to be part of it, but I don't know what I want to do, so tell me, what is there to do? You know, what can I do? But I think also the Oroville youth are not so aware, if they're here for a long time, if they grew up here, they're not so aware of the huge amount of advantage in possibilities that they have here. As if you come from the West, there everything is restricted and has to be paid for and has to be granted permission for and so on. So the Oroville youth, they take that for granted, that there's all these possibilities, and they don't take full advantage of having the freedom to choose from all these possibilities, and therefore get stuck in their daily routine or in their limited amount of diverse activities. Yeah, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the Oroville youth or whatever. I think it's just perfect how it's happening. But It's an opinion which I developed only after going out of Oroville for some time and seeing the other reality. Before that, I also took things for granted here. And it's an opinion which is like looking from outside onto Oroville. But being here all the time, it becomes normal. It's like when people ask you, how is it to grow up here? Well, what do I have to compare with? I grew up here and nowhere else. How should I judge that, you know? Unless you're a person who grew up in different places, then you can say, oh, there it was nice, and here it's not so nice in this way or that way.
What about the youth center? How is it there? Is there, I mean, like, we all see that there's so many things to do here, but we also see a decay of something. So you got any idea what it could be done to improve, maybe?
You also see what?
As somebody said, it was a passenger, you know, the passenger, she said, like, oh, there were nice things going on here. It's obvious, but they're not going on anymore. Yeah. So that spirit is like, if you're an outsider, as a visitor, is prevailing. Yeah. There were nice things here, but somehow they're falling apart. Yeah. Maybe this is just a feeling, or maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe it's just like the way how it's assembled together. It's like never-ending story, or always the continuum of evolving, progressing, or something.
Yeah. It is a bit like that in the youth center, that there are cycles of activity and not activity and decay and rejuvenation somehow. And I think it's a normal process of the youth center. It's a place where different generations of youth take charge of the place, and there's never been anyone here for like really many years at a time to manage the place, so it gets handed over from one generation to the next. And usually when like a full group of a new generation comes in, they have a lot of enthusiasm, and they see as outsiders, from not having been here before, they see all the things that need to be improved, and they work on that, and the place springs up into a new life, kind of. And then after a certain group has been here for some time, it slowly evolves into like a comfortable stay for them. You know, they've done their part, they expect other people to do the same now, and it's not happening, and they're not satisfied or something like that. So that's why these cycles happen, because the place, the management of the place changes all the time, and it's not like somebody's house, you know, it just gets better and better. But on the long run, it does get better and better, because there's more and more infrastructure here. And actually, I can't agree with that you said now, that it's like a period of decay, except when I look at the bus and think about God, what's happening there. And the roofs are leaking at the moment. This monsoon, they were leaking a lot. They have to be changed. So a lot of things have to be done new and redone, and there has to be new life. But also what people hear from the youth center, outside people, I'd say Orovillians or our guests or whatever, they hear it from Orovillians also, and it's either big events like the fair which happen, or big disasters like the bikes which burnt down, or the party was too loud, or something or the other. So they hear the extreme good news and the extreme bad news. But I've seen many Orovillians who've never come to this place and have a very strong opinion of it nevertheless, and there's a contradiction in that. I think there's plenty of room for development, and the fair here, every year the fair brings in a whole new wave of energy for guests, for Orovillians, because they participate, the place gets cleaned up, it gets opened up, many people come here after a long time of not coming here and see new developments and get new ideas. So the fair always opens up a new wave of like a renewal of ideas and all. And there's plenty of room for development of all kinds of things. Sometimes there's resistance from some people, like for certain developments. For example, the youth housing project. They wanted to make a youth housing project, which was supposed to be on the land of the youth center, somewhere inside the forest. And the project came as a proposal to us, like, how do you guys think about having this as part of the youth center? But the project consisted of one big block, a square block of concrete, which looked a bit like Kailash, with 8 rooms, independent storeroom, kitchen, toilets, everything. And it was a residential project for youth of a certain age group. And it contradicted a little bit with the general style of the youth center, where everything is built by the youngsters experimentally, alternative architecture, alternative management. At the same time, we want to improve all these facilities. We want to have better storeroom, toilets, shower, all that. And we said, okay, let's do it together. Let's pool in the funds, make 8 living possibilities, and build up on this kitchen and so on. And they said, well, no, we have our architect, we have our design, we have our funds, we want to put this thing somewhere. And we said, well, put it somewhere else, you know, it doesn't fit here. And besides, it's also not a residential place. It's not in the residential zone, and it's not a residential facility for youth, really. Although several live here now. But it's more a facility for Oroville youth and outside youth for their recreational time, for learning things, for hanging out, as you said, and for spending time together, for meeting, for playing games. And all the people that live here, including the occasional guest which passes by and needs a bed or something, they're involved in maintaining or setting up more of those recreational facilities for kids.
And something out of that?
Well, that's not necessary. Like the Christmas fair, we had to clean everything to prepare the place for people so that it's nice when they come. But that doesn't mean that the cleanup of all the garbage happens automatically afterwards, and the taking down of all the lights and the stuff which is around, you know? That doesn't happen automatically. You usually have to put a lot of energy, and people like Oroville youth, when it comes to cleaning up, even washing their own dishes, they have a big problem with it usually, because it's the Amma who does that. Yeah, in the general Oroville culture. Not everybody, of course, but most Oroville kids, they grew up with an Amma in the household. So that's just a fact. And they develop these kind of habits of not really wanting to clean up. So it's hard enough to convince some Oroville youth of like running an activity or having fun on the fair, but it's much harder to convince them to come after the fair and clean up. So, yeah. And I think events are good though for this place, and we should have another one. Latest in March, when this Anai Mundi is supposed to happen, and we still have a lot of preparation for that. If we're going to house 30 young people, we need to build structures for them, or clean a tenting space, or build a tent, and make more shower and toilet facilities, compost toilet, all that stuff. It's a lot of work. And I was actually thinking of making an event to prepare that event, like we had here since 2 years, a vocational training workshop where young kids can sign up and they learn a skill like carpentry or metalwork, and each time with that skill they've produced something. For example, a tool stand was made by the carpenters for the carpentry tools. They made a big wooden shelf structure on wheels that you can push around, and then you can do carpentry better. And we made a table once with the mason workshop. So things like that. We could do another workshop to where young kids learn how to do stuff by actually doing them, by building compost toilets, by building structures in the trees and on the ground. And let's do it. I mean, we're also open to people who have ideas who want to do events here, because sometimes the few core people that are always here and always cleaning up are a bit leached out by the constant strain of being in this place and having to look after the mess of dozens of people who come to hang out here. So sometimes it takes a person from outside to come in and say, hey, I have an idea. I want to do a Spanish night with tango dancing, for example. But if they cancel it out, then it doesn't happen, you know? And if somebody comes with such an idea, usually there's support from the youth center, and they say, okay, we're going to help out. What do you need to do? And here's the space, and let's clean it up, and so on. And the space is there. There's a big circle here to do markets and theater and performances and everything.
So see you in next 2-3 months.
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.